Gospel, chapter 14, we've been looking at the name of Jesus, and we're going to continue tonight, and by the Spirit of God, we've been able to see some very wonderful truths about the name, and the teaching has been a major departure from traditional practices. So if you've been with us from the beginning, your appreciation of the name, your understanding of the name should have completely changed by now. Amen. So we know that when the Bible teaches in my name, it's not speaking about that syllable, J-E-S-U-S. It's referring to something much more, something deeper, something mightier, something that has always been in the heart of the Father for mankind. Jesus is the model man. And in him, we have also become model men. Amen. And so we have looked at the different ways that men obtain their name. We notice that even when it comes to men, that men obtain their name through conquest, which means that you go through a specific battle or war, and then because you prevailed in that war, you can obtain a name because of what you accomplished. We know that those who become generals in the army actually became generals because they actually fought in the war and they won. And so they were promoted to that particular rank. So true conquest is one of the major ways in which a man can obtain a name. And we remember that Jesus actually became a man. And so we see that in Ephesians in chapter 1, from verse 17. The Bible says that the God who granted unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what I believe, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right and far above all principality and power, and dominion and might, and every name that is named, and given to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So we notice that there were certain things that Jesus accomplished. The Bible says that the exceeding greatness of his power, which is now towards us, which was accomplished in Christ when God rose him from the dead. So Jesus rose with great power. And by that demonstration of power, he conquered principalities and powers, and he has been set far above them. Then we also saw in Hebrews in chapter 1, from verse 1 to 5, and verse 5, the Bible says that being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And in that particular passage of comparison, we establish the fact that obtaining a more excellent name is not specifically talking about J-E-S-U-S as in the name of Jesus, because it said he has obtained a more excellent name than angels. It doesn't mention the name of any angel. So he's not saying name for name. He's simply saying that the order of creation that the angels are enjoying is a far lower level of existence than that which is given to Jesus. So in that chapter, look at Hebrews in chapter 1. We said these things yesterday. While we're repeating them, that's how truths actually stick in our consciousness, by repetition. So Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 5, or verse 4. Verse 4 says, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance. By inheritance. So the second way in which he accomplished name was by inheritance. That means he was born into the name. And inheritance is something that you don't work for, but you obtain by birth. Which means it's something that your parents or your bad parents actually give to you, something that they accomplished, and you just, it belongs to you by reason of birth. It's an inheritance. He inherited the name. So verse 5 is an explanation of how he inherited the name. Verse 4 says, being made so much better than the angels. The phrase so much better simply means he exists in a different class, a different order of being. His relationship, his standing before the Father, before the throne, is different from the standing of angels. The word angels represents a name, a rank, a status, a placement, a relationship. The word son represents a name. I need you to understand that. So Jesus is referred to as a son. By reason of being called a son, there must be an inheritance. If there is an inheritance, he must have parentage, which is he has a father. Hallelujah. So he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name. He was born into a name. Verse 5 says, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begot into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God do what? Worship him. So we went through this yesterday. We looked at the tenses. He says, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world. So we decided, when he says first begotten, is he referring to the incarnation when he was born in Jerusalem? Or was he referring to the resurrection from the dead? So we said the key to understanding that is the fact that it was referred to as first begotten. The only time Jesus refers to as first begotten is when he rose from the dead. That when he was upon the earth in the fourth gospel, he was referred to as the only begotten. So there's a difference in the terms of reference. The difference is because of the status, the rank, and the standing that he now has. So we see him in the four gospels as the anointed one. We see him unveiled to us in the epistles as the exalted one, which means the one who has authority, who has mastery, the one who is seated at the Father's right hand. Hallelujah. So we see in Matthew chapter 28 verse 18, when Jesus said that all hail, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. That's a different order of authority than what he had in the gospels. In the four gospels, all power and authority wasn't given unto him. But when he rose from the dead, by that resurrection, all power and all authority was given unto him. Which means he is the same Jesus. His name sounds the same, but the authority of that name is different. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in this Hebrews chapter 1, that verse 6 is very significant in understanding. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world. So bringing him into the world simply means when he rose from the dead, or he came out of the pit of hell and he was reborn. He was born into a name. So we know that Jesus obtained his name by inheritance. So let's look at the third method in Philippians in chapter 2. Philippians in chapter 2. Because Jesus fulfilled all three conditions by which mankind is able to obtain a name. So we've seen conquest, that's by personal accomplishment. We've seen inheritance. Let's look at the third one. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. King James interpretation can be wonderful. When it says who being in form of God, that word being in form is actually what it really says, who being God. Who being God. Didn't see it as a robbery to be compared with God, because he actually is and was God. So, but made himself of no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant. That phrase, made himself of no reputation, means he emptied himself of his Godhead privileges. He emptied himself. So it was something he did consciously, willfully, personally. He emptied himself of God and took upon him the form of a servant. So listen carefully. To take upon you the form of a servant means you are not a servant. So he was God eternally, a member of the Godhead. To take upon him simply means that's not who he really is originally. So in becoming a man, not just did he become a man, he took upon him the privilege of actually being a servant, which is the servant of God, even though himself is God. And that's serious, because what he wanted to accomplish. See, we have to read those phrases and understand what they are saying. He took on him from the servant and was made in the likeness of men. That's a serious demotion. We know who God is. That means to have limits when you are limitless by nature. What it means. So, and being found in fashion as a man, or in the form of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So there is no detail there that is minute or necessary. To become humble to the point of death, not just death, but the death of the cross simply means there is a specific punishment that is given to the vilest sinner in the days that Jesus walked on the shores of Galilee. That punishment that is given to the vilest sinner is death on the cross. It's not even stoning. Stoning wasn't the worst death. Being crucified on the cross was reserved especially for the worst criminals. So when the Bible says he became humble, you know, to the point of death, not just an ordinary death, but to the death of the cross, which is he agreed to identify with the worst sinner. That's why on the cross, Jesus identified with the homosexual. He identified with kidnappers. He identified with child abusers. Okay? He identified with pedophiles. I hope you know what pedophile means. Okay, so he identified with the worst possible form of crime and sin on the cross. So look at the next verse. Verse 9. Wherefore, or for this reason, God also has one highly exalted him. If the Bible says God has exalted him, it's different, because everything he spoke until this verse 9 was something Jesus did on the earth. So he's talking about when he was found in fashion as a man, when he walked the streets of Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Galilee, when he was physically here, all these things up to verse 8. But what he's about to mention in verse 9 is a departure, because already he just spoke to us of what he accomplished, that he became sin. That's what the message is. He became our substitute and paid for sin on the cross. So verse 9 says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him name. When was he given a name? It was when he rose, when the price was paid. Hallelujah. At this measure, he was given a name, or a name was bestowed on him. So in the same way that the sovereign of a nation or the president of a country will bestow honor on a very important citizen, in the same way also, after he rose, based on his accomplishments, God bestowed a name. Since his name was always Jesus, the name he was given couldn't be Jesus. So when he says he was given a name, he's referring to a new status, a new identity, a new standing, and a new authority. Hallelujah. That's what he's talking about. So, he has highly exalted, I'm giving a name which is above. Say above every name. That means in authority and rank, he supersedes every being and every creation. Every being and every creation. That's how you interpret it. The next verse. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven, and of things on earth, and of things under the original languages of beings. There are beings in heaven, there are beings on earth, and there are beings under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. John chapter 14 now. John's Gospel chapter 14. Verse 25. See what it says, verse 25. Verse 25. It says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. What are those things? There were things he said from verse 1. In verse 1, we saw him say to them, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you may be there also. So in going to prepare a place, he was going to prepare a place. In going to prepare a place, it will be in a place. Hallelujah. In going to prepare a place, there is room available. There are relationships available in the Father. He now says, I go to prepare a place for you. In going to prepare a place, he will occupy a place. And by occupying that place, he will be able to make room for us. So he says, I'm going to make him room, prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you may be there also. Or the standing that I have with the Father, you may have that standing also. Hallelujah. Now let us see, what did he mean when he said, there are things I've spoken unto you, being here present with you. So Jesus, the last few words he spoke, which are the most important parts of his ministry, in chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, chapter 17, he said some very profound things. And those things were keys to unlocking what it means to be a new creation. But when he was saying, he didn't fully understand. So he told them that when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide us into all truth. And the truth is a new creation. Hallelujah. All right, so see what it says again in verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Did you see that? Again, now that we've looked at this from day one, this is the 11th teaching in this age. How do you interpret that scripture? The Father will send in my name. In my name, therefore, will not be refined to who he was when he was speaking. Because we understand also, like we saw yesterday in John chapter 7, that Jesus spoke about the fact that on the last day, the great day of the feast, John chapter 7 verse 37, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, he that thirsts, let him come unto me. As scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39 now says that, but this speak ye of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, the Holy Ghost was not yet, because Jesus was not yet one glorified. Hallelujah. So we know there is a connection between Jesus being glorified and the Spirit being given. Because Jesus being glorified simply means he will stand in the different office, or the office which John the Beloved spoke to us about in John's Gospel chapter 1, which we've also looked at, when he spoke about Jesus, he didn't just say Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He said, I'm come baptizing the water as a type. But there is one who is coming to baptize with the real, and the real is the Spirit. He says, he it is that baptizes with the Holy Ghost. So he was speaking about the future ministry of Jesus as the authorized one who gives the Spirit. So we use that to also explain to us about the demarcation, the distinction between Jesus in the four Gospels and Jesus in the epistles. In the first Gospels, he was the anointed, the one who received the Spirit. He was baptized with the Spirit. John witnesses and saw it. I saw the Spirit descend upon him like a grove. I saw the Spirit descend and remain. But in the epistles, we see him differently. We see Peter introduce Jesus to us on the day of Pentecost. That Jesus, he being by the right hand of God exalted, he has shed forth this, and was speaking about the infilling, indwelling of the Spirit. He was explaining, speaking in tongues. That we're able to speak in tongues because the Spirit of God is indwelling us now. So he said, he, Jesus, being by the right hand of God exalted. So he presents to us Jesus, the exalted one, the one who baptizes in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Are you with me tonight? So we understand what he said, and the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, which means that in the future, the status that I will have, the authority I will carry, the office I will occupy, the Father will be able to give the Holy Ghost in my name. The Spirit was not yet given because Jesus wasn't glorified. So the epistles is about the glorified Jesus. I'm going to use a phrase and then put it somewhere and keep it somewhere. It's important. According to the epistles, Jesus is in us glorified. We are in him exalted. See what I mean, Spirit? Jesus is in us glorified. We are in him what? Exalted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we go on, I trust that will become clear. So, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have what? Said unto you. So Jesus said things that they didn't understand. Jesus started speaking about new creation and spoke about new creation as oneness with the Father. He had started in verse 1 and told them, where I am, you may be. They didn't understand what he was talking about. So they were thinking geographical. Jesus was talking spiritual, which is my position, my status, my standing. I want you to have the same relationship that I have with the Father. And he was saying, there's a relationship I have now, but there's another one I will have then. What is that relationship about? He is the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8:29, we saw that yesterday. He's the firstborn among many brethren. And we said that to be the firstborn among many brethren doesn't mean he's the older brother. There's really no scripture that supports Jesus being our older brother. That is the design of men. So we explain what does mean the firstborn among many. Firstborn means prototype, first begotten. Okay, it means the choice one, which is the sample. So what is different between you and Jesus now? Spiritually, there's no difference. What obvious event can we see? He has the body we are going to have. He already has the body. Hallelujah. He already has the body. And we're going to have that body. That's why no one should ever use a message of rapture to scare a believer. In fact, the Bible says when it comes to the year of rapture, that comfort ye one another with these words. When Jesus, who is our life, appears, then shall we also appear with him. Say we appear together. Think about that. Does that look like a separate appearance? It's very funny the way people just... That's why when people see visions of strange things, it's not because that's what they saw, it's because that's how they interpreted it. And your interpretation is based on how renewed your mind is. So if you've been taught wrong, you will think wrong. If you think wrong, you will believe wrong. If you believe wrong, you will see wrong. If you see wrong, you will confess wrong. It's a process. That's what the problem is. So people keep having visions. Have you heard that story about, you know, I had a vision last night. I was in a vehicle and I saw an old man. And he told me that he saw Jesus by the Father's hand and weeping and holding the Father's hand. What is that? No scripture basis. And then we have people going about saying that in a particular denomination, only 200 people will be saved. Does that make any sense to you? God is a businessman. A sound businessman. Hallelujah. A wise investor. Those are the machinations of an unrenewed mind. That's where the issue is. Your mind plays a major role in the visions that you see. Think about it. And one thing about religion is religion suspends common sense. You don't even think rationally again. That's what you, it binds your mind. You're not even thinking rationally, which is some things that normally would not make sense. Why is everybody always seeing Apostle Peter at the gate? Then second question, who told them it was that's Peter? Think about it. Didn't Judas say, excuse me, I'm Apostle Peter? You know? And he's always turning people back. He's the gate man. Doesn't make any sense. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. And what? I am the life. He didn't say Peter is the way. I am the way. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Have you come to the Father? Have you come to the Father? Have you believed in Jesus? You have come to the Father. Hallelujah. We're not coming, we have come. And you have come. You're already with him forever. That's why we don't come to his presence. No. No. We don't sing songs that say that, you know, my helper, oh my helper. There is something that makes me come. Where were you before? When did you go? Okay. Now, you may like the melody of the song. That's fine. But the more you sing those kind of songs, the more unbelief settles in. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. Man, that's David. You are not David. The last time I checked your name, he wasn't David. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You don't enter his gates. You carry his presence everywhere you go. You are the temple of the living God. Hallelujah. That they may be one as we are one. Jesus' prayer has been answered in the new creation. We are one as he and the Father are one. You in me and I in them. And we as one. Glory to God. Those are the things Jesus said in John, that he said that when the Spirit of truth is come, the Comforter, he will teach you. He will bring to your remembrance. Which is, you will begin to understand all I've been trying to say to you since. Well, Father will send him in my name. In my authority, in my standing, in my status. Or in my position as a new creation. So the Holy Ghost and the new creation are synonymous. You cannot be a new creation without the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the spirit of the new creation, is the spirit of Christ. It means you are one with Christ forever. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Amen. So it's important. So what are the things he was saying that the Holy Ghost brings to your remembrance? He said in chapter 12 of this same chapter 14, verse 12 of chapter 14, he said, if you believe in me, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works. Which means there is a superior quality of works that you'll be ushered into. And it says, it's because I go to my Father. Because I go to my Father. So in that verse of scripture, Jesus is telling us about the Father. Said that the works, if you believe in me, what does it mean to believe? It means to accept him as Lord and Savior. It means to be a new creation. He said, the works that I do. So the works he did when he was physically upon the earth, as Jesus the anointed, you will be able to do that work. But there are greater things beyond that. He said, because I go to my Father. To go to my Father is to arrive at the Father's right hand. He accomplished that by going through the cross. Now that he's at the Father's right hand, the reason why he can do greater was because he is not there alone. You are there with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2 from verse 1. And you as he quickened. Past tense. King James uses the word quicken. Another phrase for quicken is made alive. And you as a quicken, who were dead in sins and trespasses. It means there is no more association between you and sin and trespasses. You are no longer that way. You were made alive. Simply means there is a demarcation between you and sin now. To made alive means to be born out of sin. You and sin are no longer colleagues. You are not living in the same dwelling place. And you as he quickened, past tense, follow the senses, they are very important. That's what it means to be a new creation. And you as he quickened, who were dead in sins and trespasses. When in time past you walked, according to the course of this world, according to the peace of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. Hallelujah. Are you there in Ephesians 2? Let's read on. See, the spirit that now walketh in the children of the air. Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature, we were children of wrath. What determines those who experience God's wrath? Nature. We are no longer that way. Hallelujah. So we are not afraid of end time. End time favors us. We are the fulfillment of end time prophecies. Can you see the difference? We were by nature, but by nature now we're sons of God. There's a difference. So read it in context. We're no longer that way. We were by nature. So those who experience wrong, they are by nature. They are not by actions. Hallelujah. They're not that way by action. It's by what? Nature. So Next verse. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. And I called our attention to something yesterday, that you will find that in the epistles, that when the Bible refers to God's love for you, it's always in the past tense. Because it was that love that made you a new creation. So it's not as God is going to love you, he has loved you. He has commended his love towards you, in that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Romans chapter 5. He has already done it. So wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins and trespasses. See what he says. Next verse. Even when, can you see that? Even when, then, when you were dead, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Next verse. And has what? Raised us up together. And has made us to sit together in one heavenly, in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So stay with the tenses. Let the tenses instruct you. Let it teach you. Let it open your eyes to see who we are and what we have. And your mind will be renewed. And your prayer life will change. And your utterances will produce greater results. Hallelujah. Amen. So greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. That's what Jesus said. So when he said that, look at that, John chapter 14 again, and verse 13. John chapter 14, verse 13. See what he said? John chapter 14, verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified, where? In the Son. So we saw Peter acting on the scripture in Acts chapter 3, at the gate beautiful. And that crippled man, and Peter told the man, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of, that was in prayer. That was using the authority. He placed a demand on the name. All that the name represents. That name represents resurrection from the dead. That name represents forgiveness of sins. That name represents health and wholeness for everybody. Say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand upright on your feet. That was in prayer. Jesus speaks about placing a demand on the name, which is whatever that name represents, whatever honor and authority and power is behind that name, you can place a demand on it. That's what he's talking about. But in chapter 16, he's talking about prayer. Look at chapter 16. And verse 23. Chapter 16, verse 23. Somehow, we've not even talked about prayer since. It's amazing. And this is a prayer seminar. We should have just called it Bible seminar. Hallelujah. Verse 23. Are you there? Are you there? And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Now again, now that we have an understanding what it means by in my name. In my name, therefore, is relationship. In my name, there is, now that you are a new creation, you don't need to ask me. Whatever you ask the Father, while you're asking the Father, you have the same standing, the same status before the Father. Hallelujah. Whatever you shall ask for that in my name, he will give it one you. Now we're going to see something interesting, because to ask the Father in my name, listen carefully, doesn't mean you are praying every time and you hand it in the name of Jesus. No. No. Again, that's in one of the areas where we have missed it. To ask Father in my name means to ask the Father with the understanding of my status, my standing, and my... You can pray without ending with the name of Jesus and get results. And you can pray ending with the name of Jesus and get no results. It's a function of, are you asking in his name or in his authority? Are you asking because now as a new creation, you know that as he is, so are you. Are you with me tonight? Follow me. I know it will be a little bit different from traditional. I'm trying to take your mind away from JESU, because it wasn't the only one bearing JESUS. The power is not in JESU, it's in the Son. Hallelujah. He is the Son. God said to him, thou art my Son. This day have I begotten you. The power is in sonship. As a son, all the Father has belongs to him. So all the Father has belongs to us. Hallelujah. Whatever you ask for that in my name. So if you relate his name, what does the name mean now? Sonship. Remember what he said again in John chapter 14? That where I am, you may be there also. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. What does mansion mean now? Dwelling places, relationship. I go to prepare a place for you. That where I am, you may what? Be there also. That's what his name means. Where is he now? Father's right hand. What does Father's right hand mean? The name of Jesus. In a name. What does that name mean? Son, son. Only sons can sit there. Hallelujah. The Father can bestow all power and authority only to his son. That's why he's written as an angel, because angels are not sons. So they get to inherit nothing. Their role, their rank, their position in the family is different. That Hebrews chapter 1 that we just said, and God said, after he brought again the first begotten in the world, and let all the angels of God worship or serve him. And when he said it to Jesus, he said it to us. That all the angels of God should want to serve us. Why? We are sons in the family. Sons sit, servants serve. Can you see the difference? Can you see the difference? So when we are operating as sons, automatically angels take their place. So we have to learn how to operate as sons. For when we operate as sons, angels don't need to be commanded. Your operating as a son is a command to angels. It's releasing angelic assignments. That's what you're doing. But when you act like a beggar, you're acting far below your privileges. Your prayers are trying to convince somebody who is already persuaded. He is your father. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Romans 8:16. So, that John chapter 16. See what it says. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and what? You shall receive, that your joy may be full. Hitherto means up till now. Oh, the question is, how were they praying? Jesus said up till now. Up till now means from Genesis all the way to the book of John, nobody had ever asked in the name of Jesus. The reason is very simple. Nobody could ask in the name of Jesus because Jesus was not yet glorified. Are you with me tonight? So when he said, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, you shall ask, you shall, future tense. He was speaking to the apostles, disciples. You shall ask. He was speaking about what was about to take place. That there is a status and a standing that we are about to have. When I accomplish it, I will have made room for you. You'll have mansions in the Father's place. You'll have a relationship with him. When you ask in my name now, you're also asking in your own name. I have to think. Mine is okay. Which one is this one again? But follow me. Are you following? Have you been following since? Say the name of Jesus belongs to me. You see, that's what, that was not difficult. Now let's move on here. The name of Jesus is my own. You see, that was not difficult. One more step. The name of Jesus is my name. You see, it's lower. It's lower. That shows how your mind is working. Again, remember, whatever you shall ask in my name, you have to look beyond in my name. It's not J-E-S-U-S. That's what we're teaching. In my name is relationship. In my name is sonship. It was given to the firstborn among many brethren. You are the many brethren. Hallelujah. Since we are one family, Hebrews chapter 2 from verse 10 now says that in bringing many sons into glory, God made the captain of our salvation perfect through sufferings. But he has brought many sons unto one glory. Now he that sanctifies, and they who are sanctified, all have the same Father. Wherefore he is not ashamed to call them brethren. You can't tell me you and your younger brother bear a different surname. You can't be your brother and sister. You bear the same name. Your father's name belongs to both of you. Both of you have one relationship. What's that relationship? You are sons of the same Father. So he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. Wherefore it's not ashamed to call them what? Brethren. Glory to God. So when he says, hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. In my name, there means that the position, the status, what my name is about to mean, when you ask in my name, you ask the Father directly. Why? The name belongs to you. You're not asking by proxy. Now, when you read that verse, if you don't understand what in my name means, here's what people are saying. God, God, you shall see Jesus. Answer me because of Jesus. You have missed it. You have missed it completely. You're not asking like a son. You are asking because of the son. That's different. You need to get it. It's not the same. You are asking as a son when you ask in the name of Jesus. It's not that you're using J-E-S-U-S. Because of your status, your standing, your manner of asking is because you are a son. When you act like a son, you're asking in Jesus' name. Because Jesus' name gave you that position, understanding. Do you understand? Give you that relationship. Are you with me tonight? Either two, have you asked nothing in my name? Let me rephrase it. You will get it now. Either two, have you never prayed like a son? Is it clear right now? Is it clear right now? Either two, you have never prayed like a son. But now, pray like a son. And when you pray, you shall receive. And your joy. Notice said it will be full. It means the joy is already there. Will be full means it will overflow. That's why we laugh when we are praying. We are the only ones who can. Because joy is already within us. To laugh in prayer is normal for the new creation. Hallelujah. We are one with the answer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. To laugh in prayer is normal. Someone says that. No, please, we're very serious. This is how to be serious. The more you laugh, the more serious you are. Hallelujah. In the spirit, we're serious when we're laughing. I'm telling you. We're very serious. Glory to God. I think we need to look at the joints again. People are getting stiff. You're not permitted to. We need to oil your joints. And get you to remember who you are. Don't be burning down by situations. Let's trust God for Sunday. You will rejoice until you are tired. Until you are strengthened. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ask like a son. That's what it means. Either though you have asked nothing in my name. Either though you have never asked like a son. Why couldn't they act like a son? Because they were not sons. They couldn't act like because they were not sons. He doesn't say, but now. Hallelujah. Which is what that name will mean now. When you now act. So when you are acting like a son and praying like a son, you are praying in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How did he teach them to pray before he went to the cross? Before that's why you see when he taught them, look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. You see, the Lord's Prayer is amazing. Do you know it's his men that call it the Lord's Prayer? It's actually not the Lord's Prayer. Because Jesus never prayed this way once. It's strange that people call it the Lord's Prayer and he never prayed this way. In fact, every recorded prayer, there was audacity in the prayers of Jesus. No man ever prayed the way Jesus prayed until Jesus came. Because no man ever called God Father except him. No man ever did. So he gave them here a pattern of prayer because of their spiritual state and condition. He wasn't saying this is the best way to pray. He was saying, in your present condition. This is the way you can pray. And he wasn't saying word for word. He was saying, follow this pattern. And that pattern is amazing because even that pattern, there are insights. This is not the Lord's Prayer. If you really want to study the Lord's Prayer, you read John chapter 17. No, that's the Lord's Prayer. That's Jesus praying. This one is not the Lord's Prayer. This is Jesus giving them an interim way to pray because they were spiritually dead. So let's look at what he said. Let's read from verse. Okay, look at Luke 11, verse 1 and 2, and then we'll look back because it said the same thing. Luke 11, verse 1 and 2. Luke 11. Then we'll come back here. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, did he say, when he ceased, when he finished, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also did one, taught disciples to pray. Say, so prayer needs to be taught. You don't learn how to pray from heaven. You are taught here on the earth. So prayer needs to be taught. If you are not taught how to pray, you pray as you think. And many times the way you think is wrong. This is a problem that's affecting how the way people pray now. Have you seen songs? It's the song you see for an idol. So just give him his food so he can perform. Is he an idol? It's traditional this thing for idol worship. Carry it over. Just give him praise. That's his food. He wants to eat. Let him open his mouth. Put praise there. Very ungodly thinking. The youth will now come. You know what you want to ask? He that knows you're sitting down and you're standing from afar off. You now come with, you know, want to do like this, and I dance like this. I say, you know, and then after that, I say, you now start the way you praise an area boy, you now start chanting praises. You know, it's terrible. Some practices are just terrible. By the time you finish, faith is dead. You first, rabbi like this, and rabbi like this, and then, I mean, I don't understand. And then you now ask, did you see Jesus rabbi? He didn't. Then what you are forced, I don't understand where we get those. We just import all kinds of things. Jesus finished praying. Not once he did rabbi. It's amazing the things we just do. Because everything you are saying shows that you are trying to persuade the one you are talking to. It means you don't believe. You don't, you're laughing. You don't, it's a sign you don't, it's unbelief. It means you don't believe that you are a son. That's what it means. Imagine as I'm coming inside, my son's telling me, fine daddy, no pimples. Strong daddy. Just think about it. Strongest daddy. Biggest daddy. Wealthy daddy. More money. I will first ask the mom, what did he eat today? Where has he been to? My wife was here, excuse me, 2 days ago that she banned our daughter from the internet for a few days. So, but she didn't know that she has sent me a text message. That's what she does. She just sent, daddy, send me credit. That's all. There's no, daddy, you know I'm your daughter. You know I'm your first daughter. You know I need this thing. Won't you give it to me? What I'm really saying is, it's credit. See, what do you? She just said, daddy, please send me credit. I already sent her. So I have to explain to my dad, before you place the ban, the message had come in. I've already sent, because that's all she just does. She even, she just send message. Once I see the message, I just send. No argument. No discussions. And I'm a natural father. How much more your heavenly father? Think about it. So we some things we go through, it's not faith, it's unbelief. You are trying to, you know, persuade him, but he's already persuaded. Because you are his son. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. We need to renew our minds in many things. So go back to that Matthew chapter 6 now. Matthew 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. The word after this manner means in this set pattern. In this set pattern. Remember, I'm speaking to people who are spiritually dead, they are not born again. So this is not the Lord's Prayer. This is a form of prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer. You know, I know most of us memorize it. If you go into a good school, you'll have to memorize it by fire, by force. See what it says. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's the first problem. Your Father is not in heaven. He's inside you now. And you see? But for them, their Father was where? In heaven. Why? They were not new creation. They were not born again. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. So his kingdom was yet to come. His kingdom was yet to come. Why can't you pray this way? His kingdom has come. Unfortunately, in many places, the God's kingdom is still on the way. You see, that's at variance with what he has said. Colossians 1, quickly. Colossians 1 verse 12. Let's see what the Bible says. Colossians 1 verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be one, partakers of the inheritance of the saints where? In light. Next verse. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into where? The kingdom of his dear son. Hallelujah. We are in the kingdom and the kingdom is in us now. The kingdom has come. Hallelujah. By the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That's why Jesus could say, all power has been given unto me where? In heaven and on earth kingdom. That's the realm of dominion, realm of authority. The kingdom has come. We have been translated into the kingdom. We're not waiting for it. We are in it. We are it. Hallelujah. We are it. So thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Guess what the will of God is? There is a man seated on the Father's right hand in the heavenlies. His name is Jesus. That is the will of God. That our place was empty because man wasn't seated there. But the will of God has been done because man is sitting there. Hallelujah. On the Father's right hand. It has always been the Father's will, but it was never done until Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. That will has never given us this day our daily bread. He's talking about provision. You know, it's interesting that he's asking you, look at the next verse, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Clearly, Old Testament. Clearly. Can you see the condition? There's a condition. And that's what the Lord does. The Lord gives you what? A condition. We forgive. You forgive us after we are forgiven our debtors. So it's conditional. But you know, even under the Old Testament, it gives you a clue that you can ask for provision before you ask for forgiveness. You didn't get that part. You know, some people think that if they've done something wrong, something sin, that God will not answer prayers. Even for those who are spiritually dead, see what this is. You can still ask for provision before you even ask for forgiveness. I hope you can see it. Black and white. Is that not contrary to religious thinking? So you still ask for the red. But I've seen, ask for the red. Ask. That's the unbeliever. Ask. Still ask. Forgive us our debts as we want. Forgive those who are trespass against us. That's what. Is that valid today for a new creation? No. 1 John chapter 2. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. See what it says. My little children. Why is little children? Born again. New creations. Whatever is about to say is for little children. Who are little children? Born again. New creations. My little children, these things I write unto you that you see not. If you stop there, we are doomed. But thank God he didn't stop there. And if any man sin, who is any man? Little children. Who are little children? New creation. He's talking about you and I. If any man sin, we have an advocate. We're not going to have. If any man sin, he didn't say if any man sin, let him ask God for forgiveness. Is that what is written there? If any man sin, let him very repentant. If any man sin, let him weep long enough so that God can see that he's truly sorry. If any man sin, we have. Hallelujah. We have means his position never changes. He never stops being our advocate. He is living proof that sins cannot be held against us. And you know, when you're going to win a case in court, it matters who your advocate is. Because your innocence is not enough to get you acquitted in court. I hope you know. My wife is here now, so I should say something. Innocence is not enough to get you free in Nigerian courts and other courts in the world. What gets you free is a good advocate who can plead your case properly. So even if you are innocent, you can still go to jail. Because your advocate did a bad job. If any man sin, we have, present tense continuous, an advocate with Father. What's the advocate's name? Jesus Christ, the righteous. The righteous means one who can never go wrong. One who can never go wrong. Jesus Christ, the, not a righteous, the, is the definition of righteousness. You know what that means? What is that? What he says is always right. So he says, as your advocate is sitting and standing, simply means mercy has no sin. And you know, he is the righteous. He can't lie. Because he is the righteous. And he's the advocate. See what he says again. And he is the propitiation or the legal basis for which your sins are forgiven, and not for our sins only. So in case you thought he wasn't talking about you know, present sin, you know, some of you say he's just talking about past sins. No, plus present. If any man sin now, we have what? An advocate. We have a present tense representation before the Father. Hallelujah. Go back to that Colossians. Before you go to Colossians, yeah, Colossians 1, look at verse 14. Go away. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, that is the forgiveness of sins. We have it. We have it. It didn't say confess your sins. No. No. You can't confess what you have. You use what you have. It didn't say confess. You see, that's the issue. We shall want to do something. Somebody say, what am I going to say if I do wrong? Father, thank you because I'm forgiven. That's proper confession. I'm so glad that I have forgiveness of sin. Glory to God. I have it now. I have it always. Hallelujah. teaches in whom we have redemption. Even I know you have been busy confessing your sins to make you feel better. It doesn't make God feel better. It doesn't do any for confession of sins. Listen, we'll never pay for sin. Saying sorry doesn't pay for sin. It takes the blood of Jesus. And that blood was shed without your permission. Did you hear what I said? It was shed. Even when we're yet sinner, Christ died. It was shed without your permission. So your confession changes nothing. That's what we're taught. Listen, I went out for altar call. If there's something called rededicator, my own will have broken. Because the way they preach back then, when Peter finishes, the preacher is not even happy if people don't come out. Why would he be happy? By the time they finish calling the other call, your own will be there. After they call for those who are not saved, and you say yourself, I think I'm saved. You're even saying, I think. And I say that, if you have not been living right for the past few days, if that one doesn't get you, they'll say that, check your heart. If there's anything in your heart, that if yours comes today, you know you won't go. You now start searching. Creating me a new heart, oh Lord. Renew thy spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, oh Lord. Take not thy only spirit. After he said that, we'll never leave you nor forsake you. So that I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Hallelujah. Even David that sang God was saying, cast me not, because he wasn't yet cast out. Think about it. He wasn't yet cast away. The way the preachers preached that back then, brethren, this is the hour. Check your heart. And if you check too closely, you will find it. Because tomorrow may be too late. Jesus is coming today. Are you here? You are backsliding. Then if you, in case you are wondering what's the definition, it now says, checking your heart. You are here. Between yesterday and today, you have not even prayed. And you say you're a Christian. You know, there will be somebody who has not prayed. When was the last time you won souls? I say you're a Christian. Come out. But if there was something called a rededicator, it would have been broken. My own would have been broken. Because no more times I went out for that call out of ignorance. And it doesn't make for a strong walk in God. You'll always be wobbly, weak, unsound. Your life will be the devil's playground. When somebody hangs on, you say, hey, you run. Because you feel unworthy. Hallelujah. But what does the Bible say in Ephesians? Look at Ephesians 1. Hallelujah. From verse 4. Ephesians 1, verse 4. See what it says. And from verse 3. Let's read quickly. Our time is fast gone. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Next verse. According as he has chosen us in him. Glory to God. We were chosen. Say, I was chosen. Say, I've been chosen by God in Christ Jesus. I am personally chosen by him before the foundation of the world, that I should be holy and without blame before him in love. Hallelujah. I am without blame. I am without blame. I am holy. I am without blame. My prayers have tremendous effect. Hallelujah. I'm holy and without blame. Having predestined unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, I think verse 19 says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. He made the choice. I didn't make the choice. I'm just enjoying his choice. Hallelujah. Of his own will, we are forgiven. Hallelujah. Forever forgiven. That's what it means to be a believer. There's no such thing as a believer who hasn't been forgiven. We are forever one forgiven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's shouting ground. No, that's why I'm asking. Hallelujah. Let's go down a little bit more. It says, and lead us not into temptation. That phrase means that don't let us by ourselves. Don't let us suffer the consequences of our actions by ourselves. Which is, so it's not God directly leading you, it is God not allowing you to experience the consequence of your actions. See what it says? Lead us in temptation, but deliver us from evil. That word evil is the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. Hallelujah. Can you pray that prayer now? No. Me delivered? I'm complete in him. Who is the head of all principality? and power. Hallelujah. And been placed far above all principality and power. I trample upon serpents and scorpions, and above all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. Hallelujah. This is a prayer for those who are spiritually dead. I am spiritually alive in him. I'm a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't ask him to deliver me. I have been delivered from the authority of darkness. I've been translated to kingdom of his dear son. I am delivered already. Hallelujah. A new creation doesn't need deliverance. He is delivered. Hallelujah. How about the Bible teaches? We are delivered. Glory to God. We are delivered. Hallelujah. That's how we became a new creation. There's no such thing as a new creation needing deliverance. How do you become a new creation? Who has delivered you and has translated you? If you've been translated, you have been delivered. If you've been delivered, you have been translated. That's what it means. Hallelujah. In whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's why Satan doesn't have any ammunition to accuse you. You have redemption. That is the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What does he say? So he says, lead us and deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever on. Amen. Hallelujah. Ours is the kingdom. Ours is the glory. Ours is the power. Hallelujah. That's how you read now. Ours, not just thine. Ours now, we're joint heirs, is the kingdom. Ours is the glory. Ours is the what? The power. Glory to God. I think it was in John chapter 11, verse 41, the way Jesus prayed. Oh, when he got to the tomb of Lazarus, he said, Father, I know that you hear me always. Ah, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I know. I thank you that thou hearest me always. Even when he was saying that statement, you know, he feels like, Jesus, if you know, why are you saying it? He said, for the sake of the people here, that's why I said it. Enough. Lazarus, come out. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. We are sons of God. Hallelujah. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Hallelujah. We are sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. Glory to God. It changes our prayer life. We have confidence before the throne. We are bold when we pray. We know what we're praying for is ours already. Hallelujah. We ask in the name. It means we ask like sons. We are not beggars. We are not hoping it will happen. We know it will happen. And God is able and has made all grace to abound towards you. That you having all sufficiency. You abound in every good work. Hallelujah. And my God shall supply and has supplied all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's how a believer prays. You know it has been settled. You know it is taken care of. You know you are one with the answer. That's what it means to pray in the name. Stand to your feet tonight. And let's pray in the name tonight. Pray in the spirit. Pray like a son. Pray like one who has the name, who has the dominion. Pray like a kingdom diplomat. Pray with the understanding that you have all authority and all power. For ours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Forever and ever. Let's extend the boundaries of the kingdom. Let's bring the influence to bear in all areas of life. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Kana braste kostama embri shebroka dala grastike sita kaste ene kanda pasti asabragato ala mimbre kesto brokosta kike sibreketana. My steps are always ordered. I have supernatural leading and perception. I know what to do. I walk in an abundance of favor. Everything I lift up my hands on to do is blessed. I have been blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Nothing about me goes down. Nothing about me is frustrated. I walk in divine prosperity. The light of God shines upon my path. I know what to do at all times. Christ has become my wisdom and my redemption and my sanctification. All my needs are met. There's an abundance of provision for me. Financial miracles and supplies come my way in every direction. I cannot be stranded. I cannot be neglected. resurrected in the name of Jesus. In me, in Christ Jesus, all the promises of God are yes and yea, amen, to the glory of God. And I receive, and my joy is full. We spread the savour of the fragrance of Christ everywhere we go. We are appointed unto promotion. We are exalted in every area of life. We enjoy divine wisdom and supernatural assistance on every silent amanto. Ane kala na moka kastike setelia ele katala gastike sister is lacking in our experience. Celebra kotaye este bom body tele bemne kita much is accomplished. Celebra kota gata la bunga that was supernatural. Outliftings and supernatural progress. 2018 is a year. Elena grants take a subrogota of mighty unravelings and unfoldings of the Father's will and counsel. We may progress upon the earth. There's no lack of any kind. There's an abundant supply of provisions. We cover ground rapidly. We take our place in the name of Jesus. I am courageous. I display all of heaven's virtues. For you have done all things well. We extol and magnify your name. We rejoice greatly in all that you have done. We stand in the light of all you have accomplished, and we give you praise. We are excited. Our joy overflows. Our joy is full. Oh, praise the Lord.
We exalt you. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you. We see mighty things. We see amazing things. We see awesome things break forth. We see new things spring forth. We see supernatural results. We walk at large. We walk at liberty. Thank you, Father. Glory, 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 glory. I'm rejoicing. Knows no bounds, knows no bounds, knows no bounds. Hey! Woo! Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be God. Blessed be God. Hallelujah. The 2018, no limits, no boundaries, no barriers.
2018. Men are translated, caught up in specific positions, planted in specific locations, doing, approving, and administrating the will of God. 2018. Oh, there's a resounding yes. 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 Oh, there's a resounding yes. A year of never accepting no. A year of never accepting no. Heaven has said yes. That yes is loud. That yes is clear. That yes reveals in all our fears. Thank you, Father. For 2018 is a glorious year indeed. And we give you praise. Many works will be burnt up. Many works will be burnt up. Works not done in the light. Works and have no bearing upon the plan and purpose of the Father. There will be more visibility for the works that have been hidden but are wrought in God. Yea, the Father's plans and purpose through many assemblies that have had no visibility. Suddenly, they will become visible. Suddenly, they will be in the front line. Suddenly, they will be in the light of the glory of God. For the gospel will be heard. The gospel will be preached. Wrong practices will come down, and the glory of God will rise and settle upon many, many, many. Ears shall be sanctified, hearts shall be cleansed, minds shall be renewed, men shall be strengthened, for the ability of God goes forth like never before. For you, Balie, Supro, Celibra, Cacique, Subracota, Liata, Shato, Osabranke, Eti, Elite, Kugu, Gatike, Kesuko, deepening of spiritual operations, deepening of palipo ki estike li atiste, a string working together of the power gifts of the Spirit. Great power, great witness, great results, great moves of the Spirit of God. A subtle man swept in, oh, into the kingdom. Man delivered from the power of darkness. Man lechuko levrite yeshteko lagatia. Even through the hands of children, miracles will be wrought, and signs and wonders will spring forth. None shall stand aloof and say, I am not called, I am not used of God, for all shall be used, for all are called. Alatio belikati shekele kato sopurite ishte. So dileamo ke ike sita, despise not the smallest leadings, the smallest promptings, for within the small seed lies a big tree, lies a mighty harvest. As you yield to that first prompting, a leko grastike, you will set, oh, into motion a chain of events that will glorify the Father. Anamo eliati shokori katasita. And Sekia, more sightings, more conscious awareness of the ministry of angels. Oh, like never before. For you hear of saints cut away from vehicles that will have crashed and have accidents. You see saints delivered from harm. You see the angels of God keeping charge of the saints of God and delivering from harm. You will see a Sukratili Echi Shokura, strength positionings, and divine overtakings will begin to take place. Elia Kastukustekile, and what many once knew as a confession will be the reality they will now enjoy. They will now enjoy. They will now enjoy. They will now enjoy. For God is true. His word is true. His grace is real. His ability is real. And it will remain real in the life and the experiences of the saints more than ever before. 2018, a year of the pass mark. Of the pass mark. Of the pass mark. Of everyone's pass mark. Of everyone's pass mark. In Allah to call it a shita cobra ticket setter. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we give you praise. Glory to your name.